I heard a story once about a mother who got a call from school saying that her young daughter was ill. She hurried to pick up her child, and then she called the doctor, but the doctor's schedule was already overbooked that day. He could see the child the following morning, and in the meantime, he recommended an over-the-counter medicine to ease her symptoms. So the mother tucked her little girl in bed and drove to the pharmacy, bought the medicine, hurried back to the car, only to realize she had left her keys in the ignition and locked herself out. When she called her daughter to explain why it was going to take more time to get home, the little girl told her to find a coat hanger. "Mommy," she said, "I've seen it on TV. You stick this coat hanger down inside the window, you hook it on the handle, and the door's open." Well, the mother didn't know her little girl was so street smart, but she went back into the store, and she got a wire hanger, and she made an attempt to open the door there, and she didn't do it. She couldn't figure it out. Finally, she was just frustrated, and she just lifted her racing heart to the Heavenly Father, and she said, "Lord God, I don't know what to do. My keys are locked in this car. My little girl's at home sick. I'm here with this stupid coat hanger. Please send somebody to help me." She finished her prayer, and his car pulled up at the curb, and the passenger got out, and the man had a rough look. I mean, he didn't look like somebody God would send, but he was there. He hadn't shaved for days. It occurred to her that he might be homeless. But here's God's answer. So she said, "Sir, can you help me?" "What's the problem?" he said. "Well, I've locked my keys in this car, and I've got this coat hanger, but I don't know what to do with it." He said, let me have your coat hanger." After bending the hanger and inserting it down inside the window glass, he opened the car door. Pretty scary thing that people can do that. The mother was so overwhelmed that she threw her arms around this scruffy old guy and gave him a hug. And she said to him, "You're such a good man. You're such a good man." He said, "Lady, I'm no good man. I just got out of prison this morning." As he walked away, the mother lifted her hands up to heaven and said, "Thank you, Lord, you sent me a professional." You know, sometimes God answers prayer. Sometimes God answers prayer in unexpected ways, doesn't he? In fact, overcomers in our warfare against Satan always deal with the issue of prayer. The passage we've explored throughout this book, Paul tells us to put on the armor of the Lord. And then at the end he says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We learn those are the sayings of the Lord. And then he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this, and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now that's a mouthful. But prayer is our line of communication, our secret lifeline that connects us to our leader. It gives us his strength and direction every day. We don't get that without prayer. And this is why Paul devoted this little place at the end of this critical passage to discuss the importance of prayer. Paul slowed down, gave us a robust doctrine of prayer in 24 words. 24 words in that verse, and we have probably the most important passage of prayer in all the Bible. Let's begin by looking at the persistence of the overcomer's prayer. Notice what it says, praying always. Now, what does that mean? I mean, the Bible says men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Do we walk around like zombies, oblivious to our surroundings, mumbling mantras under our breath, praying always? No, it means we're always in contact with God. It means like soldiers on the battlefield connected to their commander with the radio, we're in touch with God. This is how we maintain our connection and learn to live in fellowship with Him. If we live this way, we won't have to begin each prayer like this. Oh God, we come into your presence. No, if you're in his presence, you can't come into his presence. Lord, we come into your presence. If we live with an attitude of prayer, we're always in his presence. A vivid example of praying always is in the character of Tevi, the struggling Jewish milkman in the classic stage play and film, Fiddler on the Roof. As he works and interacts with his family and neighbors, he carries on a running conversation with God. He's chatting with him like a friend. He talks about whatever comes into his head. His daughter's getting married, his lame horse, his poverty, his dreams. He pauses to carry on business and take care of needs, but the moment those things are done, he's back talking to God again. It's as if his life is his prayer, and the everyday things he must do are just islands in the stream that flows continually from his heart to God. Praying always means to always be in touch with God. You know, sometimes you don't have time to get ready to pray. If you see a car coming at you through the intersection, you say, God help. Well, you better be in good fellowship with God when that happens, because you don't have time to confess your sin and get things right when the car's coming at you, right? So always being in fellowship with God. But it also means to pray persistently. God wants to teach us the persistence of prayer. God doesn't work on our time schedule. Did you know that for God, everything is in the eternal present? So God isn't waiting. It's all in the present. And at the right time, in the right place, for the right reason, God will answer. One of my professors in seminary was a man by the name of Howard Hendricks. He was an incredible man, known by all of the Dallas Seminary graduates as one of the great teachers of all time. My wife actually was his secretary while we were in seminary. One day, Dr. Hendricks came into our class and he said, you know, my father's not a Christian. And he said, I have prayed for him every single day for 40 years. And I was in class when he came in and told me that his father was very, very ill, probably going to die soon, but that he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. 40 years he prayed for his dad. It's always too soon to quit, you guys. Don't quit just because it looks discouraging. Oh, he won't even listen to us. He doesn't want anything to do with us. Just keep praying. Keep knocking on the door. Keep seeking. Keep asking. And God is there. God loves it when his children come knocking on his door persistently.
You know, I heard a little story about a boy. Little boy went to bed one night. His father was home taking care of the kids, and his father wasn't used to the bedtime routine that most moms are pretty familiar with, so his father was downstairs. He thought the children were in bed and he could enjoy his TV program, and pretty soon he heard his little boy at the top of the stairs saying, Daddy, I need a glass of water. So he goes up there and he gets him a glass of water. A few minutes later, guess what? Daddy, I got to go to the bathroom. So he goes up and this goes on two or three times. Daddy, I need a glass of water. Well, finally the father had it. He said, young man, you get yourself back to bed. Don't you let me hear your voice again. The next time I hear your voice, I'm going to come up there and give you a licking. I'm going to come up there and give you a spanking. It was real quiet. And then he heard his little boy say, Daddy, when you come up to give me a spanking, could you bring me a glass of water? I mean, you know, that's the way it is, right? That's the way we are. Our kids, they can teach us a lot about being persistent. Amen? You know what? They're not embarrassed. They don't have any embarrassment. God wants us to be like him, as he is our father, like our children relate to us as their father. I think the point is we ask for what we need. If you'll take your Bibles, please turn to Matthew chapter 7. I want to review a couple of really awesome scriptures. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. New King James Version I'll be using for these verses here tonight. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Turn over to Matthew chapter 18, please. Verse 19. Matthew 18:19. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. And now we'll turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And as much Greek research as we're involved with, and Aramaic, and biblical studies, and all these different things, the simplicity of what the word ask, it's going to be earth-shattering to you, maybe. You know what it means? Ask. There's no formula to it. It just means ask. John 14:12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, will he do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14. If you, what? Ask anything in my name, I will do it. There's no questioning, like, I might do that, I may do that. Jesus is saying here, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it, because God will be glorified as a result. Turn over to John chapter 15. John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. There seems to be a kind of a common theme here, and we're not going through every verse and every scripture, but a reoccurring concept that's coming up over and over and over again throughout the Gospels, and then carrying through into the book of Acts and onward into the church epistles, is the usage of the name. Usage of the name. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 10. You know, Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, it'll be given to you, and God will get glorified as a result. So I've entitled this sharing tonight, In My Name. Acts chapter 4, verse 10, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. There, this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Well, glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1. We're familiar with the term power of attorney, that we have the authority to use the name. In this case, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's something that we should do in exercising our authority as God's chosen representatives down here on planet Earth. It invokes the power of heaven to come into the world in which we live. It gives us tremendous power, tremendous strength, and tremendous exercised authority. Ephesians chapter 1, please, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Maybe you're familiar with the verse in Philippians 2:9. It says, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Now, the world may not currently recognize that. I think it's maybe one of the more popular swear words in a worldly way. But the authority, the power, what's all behind the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God seated him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, above principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. And not just now, but in those ages which are to come. Really something, guys. You know, it used to be said, and maybe still is on occasion, that a man's word was as good as his name. Well, maybe that's not as true in some ways today, but there is a name that has been tried and tested and has stood the test of time, and that's the name of Jesus. Yes, there is something about that name. Tom spoke of it on Monday, Bob spoke of it last night, and every day as we pray and as we speak, we have the ability and the authority and the right to use the name of Jesus. You know, my name was given to me at birth, was different than my name is currently. I found that out a number of years ago. Interesting, huh? But the name of Jesus, it's the same. According to Hebrews 13:8, Jesus remains the same today, tomorrow, and forever. You know what? He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the one that we can exercise and enjoy the benefits of who we have been made to be by Almighty God through the work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In His name, He is the way, the truth, and the life. And He is the Master, and He is the Lord of our lives today, tomorrow, and for all of eternity. Amen? Heavenly Father, You're so kind. You're so good, Father. And may we access and exercise everything that's been so wonderfully given to us by grace. Father, we could never work hard enough, long enough, to ever deserve it. But yet, here we are. And I'm thankful that as we live out the days of our lives, Father, we can see the benefits and the fruit of using that powerful and wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank You, God, for this and for the days and weeks and months and years to come until the Lord returns. We pray in His name. Amen.